Good morning. We are now studying in the book of Revelation in what we call part 3. And our study today is going to be on when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, or when Jesus comes the second time and sets up his kingdom here on this earth. So we want to begin today in prayer, and then we will do some review from our studies in the first five lessons that will bring us up to date. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your precious word. And Father, we want to know your word. We want it to be indwelt into us, that we may live it out, Father, that others may see you. And those in this dark world that do not know you will come to know you through your word, through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So we ask for your guidance today. In Jesus' name, I do pray. So, remember that we are now on Lesson 6 of Part 3 of Revelation. And our study today is more or less emphasis on Matthew. And we can see how that Matthew, Jesus himself, tells the disciples as they sit and ask questions about the end times, and Jesus uses parables to explain these end times. So let us look now back a few minutes and see what we have studied in Revelation. Looking at a timeline, we know that Jesus came to this earth, and he was born of the Virgin Mary, and that he lived 32 and a half approximately years, and then he was crucified. And we know that in AD 70 the temple was torn down, was burned and destroyed. Then we go on to see the next thing is the church age. And so after the church age, that's the time that we're living now, comes the rapture. And we know that according to God's word that the next thing after the rapture will be the tribulation. And we see the first half, the first 3.5 years, because tribulation is a period of about 7 years. So the first half, we see that God sends his witnesses, the two witnesses, and the 144,000 to preach the gospel. And at this time, here in the middle of the 7 years, the first 3.5, there is what we studied, the seventh trumpet. And at that time, sacrifices were stopped by the Antichrist, and he set up the abomination of desolation. Now, from the time of the beginning of the tribulation to the time of the coming of the Son of Man, in the book of Daniel, we learned that was called the 70th week. And so, at the middle of that time, as the Antichrist sets up his kingdom and stops the sacrifice, then for 3.5 years, there is kings and wars with the saints. And the woman that we studied, which is Israel, fled to the wilderness for that 3.5 years. And then we know at the end of tribulation, then that Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom and reigns for 1,000 years. Now that is the timeline that we have studied in the book of Revelation. And so now we want to look at, as we studied in our last study, Matthew 24. And this was the time that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And one of his disciples made a comment about the magnificence of the temple. And Jesus told him that it would be torn down. So this is where we see that they begin to ask questions. When will it be torn down? And what will be the sign of his coming at the end of the age? And then we studied that in chapter 25, that Jesus began to tell them that they would see these many things take place: birth pains before the sign of the end, wars and famines and earthquakes in various places, and that the disciples would suffer tribulation and hatred from all nations, and there would be false prophets to mislead them. And we studied in 2 Thessalonians 2 that there would be apostasy and rebellion before the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the gospel would be preached in all the nations. Now, we studied in Revelation 14 that one of the angels that was flying in mid-heaven was preaching the gospel. And then we also saw the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, which begins the last part of the time of tribulation, the last 3.5 years. And this is called the Great Tribulation. And we studied in Daniel 9, and we saw there a description of a coming prince who made a covenant for a week, and he breaks it in the middle. And we know that was in that first 3.5 years that he made this covenant. And then in 2 Thessalonians, we learn that the man of lawlessness takes his seat in the temple to display himself as God. And then in Daniel 7 and 25, there was a horn speaking out against God Most High and against his laws, and saying that he was going to make alteration in times and in law. Then we learned in Revelation 13 that the beast speaks blasphemies against God. And then Jesus told those in Judea to flee. Now we learned in Revelation 12 that this woman was Israel, and Israel was told to flee to the wilderness for 1,260 days, which would have been 3.5 years. Then the last half of Daniel 12 calls it a time of distress that has not occurred since there was a nation, Israel. And then immediately after the Great Tribulation, Jesus, the Son of Man, comes on the clouds and gathers his elect. And we studied in Revelation 19 that he is faithful and true, King of kings and Lord of lords. and he will be on a white horse, and he'll be followed by the armies in heaven, clothed in white linen, the saints, the believers, all those that have been raptured, they will be following him, because when he comes back to set up his kingdom, they will help him. They will rule and reign with him. Now then, that gets us up to today's study, and we're in now the 25th chapter of Matthew. And this chapter, we're seeing in verses 1 through 13 that Jesus is quoting a parable, or giving a parable, to the disciples. And we want to compare what he is telling them with what we have studied in the book of Revelation, because he is telling them how that the people need to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. So I'll read the first 13 verses of Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flesh along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour." So we see now that chapter 24 ended with several illustrations. And since the people didn't know the day or the hour when Jesus would come, they needed to be alert at all times. And of course, we see here the illustration of the parable that Jesus spoke of the 10 virgins. 5 are ready when the bridegroom comes, and 5 are not. So what that is saying here is that there will be those that will be ready when Jesus comes, and then there'll be those that won't be ready. And then let's look at the next verses and see the parable of the talents. And this is also Jesus speaking this parable in verses 14 through 30. And I'll read these verses. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possession to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to their own ability. And he went on his journey, and immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." Verse 19. "Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And also the one who had received the 10 talents came and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have 2 more talents. And his master said, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things into the joy of your master. And the one who received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talents in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, these 3 slaves were entrusted with talents from their master, and 2 have gained more by the time the master returns from his journey, and 1 has done nothing, and it's been worthless. So it's assigned, he is assigned to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let's go ahead and read verses 31 through 46, because here we're going to see the judgment. And we're going to see in all of this how that this compares with what we're studying in what is coming in the future that John was given in the vision that Jesus' angel gave to him. These verses are talking about the things that are in the future. And Jesus uses parables to describe these things. So let's look at Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And this is about the judgment. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and that we studied in Revelation, at the end of tribulation, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, when you came to me? And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to eat? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did to me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and the angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in, naked, and did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So, what are these verses saying? How does it relate back to Matthew 24? When Jesus comes, he sits on his glorious throne. And we relate that to Revelation chapter 20 of the thousand year, the millennial reign. And the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them based on their works, how they treated their brothers. And verses 34, 41, and 46 tell of their end. The righteous inherit the kingdom and eternal life, while the accursed depart into eternal fire and punishment. Some call this the judgment of the nations, and we know it as the great white throne judgment. It happens at Jesus' second coming, the beginning of the millennial thousand years. Maybe this judgment takes place during the extra 30 and 45 days of Daniel 12. So anyway, we know that the judgment, according to Scripture, will come at the end of the millennial. So what is the comparison? Jesus compared the separation of nations to the separating of sheep and goats. And at that time, flocks often had both eating together and led by one shepherd, even as today. And when his brethren or brothers were needy, the sheep of the righteous cared for them, but the goats did not. So, to relate this to the timeline of what, let's look at what Jesus asked in Matthew 25. He said this is the time of his return, the beginning of his earthly kingdom, the thousand years. That's what he's referring to here in Matthew. And then when he returns, he says that he destroys the armies gathered against him, and he throws the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire. And then he judges all who are left of the nation. Some are righteous, those who have not received the mark of the beast, and some are accursed, and they're the ones that have received the mark of the beast. So how they treated Jesus' brothers shows whether they're righteous or not. So since the nations are being judged and the Jews are never named among the nation, his brothers is a reference to Jews at that time. So, there will be survivors among the nations, and the righteous from the nations will enter the thousand-year earthly kingdom and eternal life, but the unrighteous will depart into eternal fire, the lake of fire. Now, before we finish, let's look at some verses in Matthew 13. So, go to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to look at some more parables that Jesus is comparing these righteous and unrighteous. And, you know, he used a lot of parables because the people at that time could understand what he was talking about if he used parables, something they were familiar with. So here in this parable, we're seeing he gives a comparison of tares among wheat. So what are tares? Tares would be weeds, wouldn't it? It would be the undesirable that come up among the wheat. So I'll read verses 24 through 30 of Matthew 13. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went out. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident. And the slave of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to gather together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So this is about, this parable is about the kingdom of heaven and who enters it. Here we see the enemy coming in. And in verses 24 through 30, that's the comparable. But then in you look at verses 36 through 43, that is the exclamation. So let's look now at verses 36 through 43. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house." This is starting with verse 36 in chapter 13 of Matthew. "And his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels and will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of his Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So, looking now, we see that Jesus explains, because the disciples were puzzled over this parable, and they asked Jesus, the Son of Man, to explain it. And so he says that Jesus himself, the Son of Man, sows good seed in the field. That field means the world. That's where Jesus is sowing his word. And then the seed is the sons of the kingdom. That would be those that receive him. And this was directed toward the people of Israel when he was speaking this. So it seems that these are the people of Israel who are a part of the kingdom. And then we see that the devil comes in, as he does today in this world, and he sowed his own sons among them. So what does that mean? It meant that the devil and his angels, the demons that followed after him, they come in among the people of God, and they sow these sins and false things that the people will follow after, and many will turn away and not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So the seed is the sons of the kingdom. And so the devil now has come in. That's what he is using this as an example. And at the end of the age, at the end of the future age, Jesus will send his angels to gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks, everything that causes sin, and lawless ones to be thrown into the fire, the lake of fire. We know that at the judgment, those that have never received Jesus, those that are of the devil, will face judgment. And they will receive that judgment from the Lord Jesus, because he is the one that is the judge. And he will send them, the scripture says, to the lake of fire. And then the righteous ones will shine forth in God's kingdom. Verse 43 quotes Daniel 12:3. These will be the righteous one. And I'll read that verse. And then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And that's what Daniel was quoting in the scripture of the vision that he saw, because he saw the judgment of God. So there will be those of Israel who are separated at the end of the age, those that are believers and are non-believers, and there will be those of the nations judged at the time that Jesus returns. So this gives us a study that we can understand more about when he comes and sits on his throne. We know that that will be the time of judgment, and the righteous will be separated from the unrighteous, and those that are righteous will receive their rewards, but those that are unrighteous will be cast into the lake of fire forever. So that covers pretty much what we needed to study in this lesson 6. And next week then, in lesson 7, we're going to be studying some more. At this time, let's see if I can find the topic. Our lesson next week on lesson 7 is still, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. So we're going to see how this relates with other scripture like Luke 21. And so we will end today then in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for this opportunity that you have given us again to study your word, to know more about you. Because, Father, you wrote it all down. You inspired the ones that you gave it. You inspired John, the disciple, to write down these things that we may know and that we need to be on alert and be prepared and to help those that have never received Jesus to come to know him as Lord and Savior. And I pray today, if there be anyone that may be listening that has never surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus, that today will be the day of salvation. And I praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.